This morning, Brother Joseph T. brings God's word to us as we are reminded about the oft-neglected area of biblical lament. Our sermon text this morning is taken from Psalm 3, and we shall be reading this from the ESV. Psalm 3, verse 1. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying to my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You bleak the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. This is the word of the Lord to us this morning, and the sermon is entitled Honest Tears Before Our God Who Hears.
Thank you, Reuben. I hope you all can hear me right now. Yes? You can nod your head if you can hear me. Okay, that's great. Hi, my name is Joseph. I'm one of the pastoral staff here in Zion Serangoon, and it's been a while since I preach in church. It's a bit weird doing it from my living room. I'm just glad that I'm still able to talk to all of you. And in particular, I want to thank those people who started your video on Zoom. I know it's a bit weird, but it's actually been quite an encouragement for me. As a preacher, I can see the responses, whether my coins are landing. But even when I came back to Singapore and going online for Zoom service, it was just encouraging to see familiar faces, to know that I'm back home. Now, some of you may know this already, but today is Youth Sunday. That means we remember the young people, the youth in our midst, and we want to just remember how important they are in our family of God. And maybe some of you are older, you might think that, okay, maybe I don't have to listen to this sermon. I would like to correct you, because I'm going to talk about something that has impacted all of us, young and old. And that's the COVID-19 pandemic. And just take a moment and think about it, okay? Things change so quickly, right? In just a couple of weeks or a short few months, we have this new normal. As we suddenly had to learn what is WFH, work from home. The students among us had to learn to use the student learning space, where even teachers were caught off guard and had to catch up as well. We had to learn how to wear masks when we go out. I remember many times I had to run back home just to wear my mask when I'm going out. And even now, right now, if you think about it, we are meeting in church virtually. On Zoom, we don't get to sit next to friends that we haven't seen the whole week. We don't get to meet new people. We don't get to even physically pray together. And all this shows us that everything is so new right now. And as we move so quickly, I wonder whether we have time to biblically lament our losses due to this pandemic. Some of you might be asking, Jojo, what are you talking about, lament? So let me give you a definition from Ra Su Chan from his book. And he says this: laments are prayers or petition arising out of need. Lament in the Bible is a liturgical response to the reality of suffering and engages God in the context of pain and trouble. The hope of lament is that God would respond to human suffering that is wholeheartedly communicated through lament. Or simply put, a lament is a song of mourning or sorrow. I'm reminded how we have failed to lament during this pandemic. I was listening to this podcast by Brené Brown. She's a well-known author, social worker, and she interviewed David Kessler. And he is also quite famous because he was one of the authors or co-author who worked on these stages of grief. And in this podcast I was listening to, they highlighted a very interesting point. They said as people went through the pandemic, they went through these stages of grief. Maybe you heard of these stages of grief, like anger, denial, bargaining. During this pandemic, they were going through all these stages, but when they were confronted and they were asked, are you grieving right now? A lot of people will push back and say, no, I'm not grieving. No, I didn't lose any loved ones. I still have my job. I'm fine. It's interesting that this podcast, that it's a non-Christian podcast, it highlighted one thing, that people tend to deny their emotions even during this pandemic. If I connect it back to our Christian life, we are not only meant to grieve, we're meant to lament, to cry out to God in the midst of our pain and suffering. In Singapore, I've had the opportunity to compare it to the States, or particularly in St. Louis, where I've been the last 2 years for my studies. And I realized Singapore is top-notch, I am serious, top-notch in terms of our efficiency, our pragmatism, effectiveness. It's so impressive how our government and authorities have stepped up to try to be ahead of the curve. Even our church, I'm so impressed that our church has managed to come up with this Zoom platform to meet online. And our members have also been very adaptive and resilient in keeping up with this. It's truly amazing, if you ask me. But in the midst of this progress and the speed that we are trying to get ahead of the curve, I realize we've forgotten an important part. We've forgotten to slow down. We've forgotten to be honest with God with how we're feeling. We've forgotten to cry out to God. We've forgotten to lament before God. We are almost like the people mentioned in the podcast where they deny their grief. Likewise, as Christians, have we denied how we're feeling? Have we denied how we're supposed to lament? If we do not know how to lament, we won't know how to respond to times when we are scared, helpless, frightened, alone. We think that we have a wrong impression of God. We think that He doesn't care. We may even end up resenting God because we feel that He doesn't draw near. Instead, it's because we have not cried out to Him. We have not been sensitive to this particular area of our Christian faith. In light of this, why do we need honest tears before our God who hears? How are we supposed to lament and be honest with God with how we are feeling right now? So we're going to jump into Psalm 3, and I hope that as we go through this psalm, we get a glimpse and we get just hopefully the awareness of how to biblically lament. So before we do that, please join me in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know that we are going to jump into a pretty heavy topic. It's an area that we sometimes do not want to get engaged in because it's messy, it's painful. But Father, you are big enough to take our pain. You're big enough to take our laments. Help us, God, through the Spirit to know who you are, even in the midst of our pain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So to better understand what lament is, we need to survey the ground in a sense. So we turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 3. We are going through the whole psalm. And first thing we have to note, the psalms, okay, is we forget this, but it's meant to be set to song. That means it's supposed to be sung. You're supposed to sing the psalms. And that's why my professor back in seminary, he defined the psalms as a hymn book of the ancient people of God. Together, by singing together, the worshippers express a range of emotions, from sorrow, fear, anger, to joy, hope, satisfaction. And when they express these emotions, the psalms help them to channel these emotions properly. So it not only helps them to feel, it helps them to shape them as they sing these psalms. And so these psalms help us to be thoroughly honest with God. And if they treat our emotions not as something to be solved, not a problem to be solved, they treat our emotions as raw materials to be molded into something beautiful. Psalm 3 is known as a lament psalm, and my seminary professor also pointed out that there are more lament psalms than any other kind of song in the book. There are more lament songs, but yet I think we forget that, we ignore this part. And not only is it a lament psalm, it's called an individual lament. It means that even though it's talking about King David's own circumstance, it's supposed to help God's people to learn how to respond in distressing circumstances. So even though it's talking about David's scenario, but it's actually applicable to all of us to learn. And so turn you to your Bibles again, look with me to Psalm 3 and notice the title. As Pastor Yap reminds us time and time again, do not ignore the title. The title is also the word of God. It says, a Psalm of David when he's fled from Absalom, his son. What the title is helping us do here is tying this psalm to a specific occasion in David's life, particularly the rebellion of his son Absalom in 2 Samuel 15 to 16. When David does this, he's actually linking this pain and the emotions he's feeling to a concrete event. Don't overlook this. God is interested in the specific, practical, concrete things that has happened to us, just like for David. And David is responding to an actual event that happened in his life. So when we turn to verses 1 and 2, you can follow along with me as I read it to you. Verse 1, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Firstly, notice with me the repeated words of many. David is emphasizing in these two verses how precarious his situation is. Many enemies, many people around him. David is really crying out because there are so many people who are out to get him. And things are so bad that even the enemies are mocking him. They're saying there's no salvation for him in God. The foes are mocking David. They're saying that God will not save him due to his sin. And notice also with me the pronouns that are used. We see the repeated of my or me. It's focusing the attention to David. This is what David is actually feeling right now. This is how he's really in pain. He's suffering. He's crying out. He's lamenting. And all in all, David is tying this psalm to a specific event to show us that our faith meets the variety of circumstances that people meet. David's not being hypothetical about this. This is really happening to David. And he is being honest. He is personally lamenting to God about the many enemies that are surrounding him. He is crying out to God in his pain. When I was in seminary the past 2 years, the second half, there was a counseling program and they offered free counseling service. So I signed up and I wanted to talk to my counselor about the things that scared me about coming back to Singapore. Yes, things that scared me. I shared with him honestly about how overwhelmed I felt pastoring, coming back to pastor the church that I grew up in. I shared with him how helpless I felt sometimes with the weight of expectations upon me, both from the young and old leaders and members, spoken and unspoken. I told him I felt even inadequate of leading my family well, even inadequate with the financial situation or the crunch that is probably going to happen. But you know, I noticed, my counselor pointed out something. I noticed that every time I shared my problem, I would immediately jump to the solution. I would just say, but you know, it's okay. You know, God will protect me. God will provide. God is good. I would always jump to the end. I didn't notice I did this until my counselor actually stopped me time and time again. He'll say, wait, pause, Joe, pause. Tell me again how you were feeling when you were feeling helpless or you were feeling overwhelmed. What was the emotions that you're going through? It's only then I realized my tendency to just give 10-year series answers, you know, model answers, to give the Sunday school answers, to suppress and ignore what I was actually feeling, and to give the answer that I know a Christian would want to hear. It didn't help that in that week, when I was going through a really tough time in seminary, I went through not one, but two classes talking about lament. And I knew God was reminding me, Joe, this is an area that you need to be aware of. The Spirit was highlighting to me the shortcoming that I had in my Christian walk. And honestly, I did not know how to biblically lament. I did not know what it meant to cry out to God. I did not know why I had to have honest tears before the God who hears. And honestly, I'm still learning, and it's taking time right now to pause and reflect and to ask myself, what am I going through right now? And the question I need to ask you this morning is, what about you? What losses have you encountered during this pandemic? As I mentioned before, some people, they say, I'm not grieving, I'm not lamenting, I don't have to lament. I did not lose loved ones or friends. All the people I know are healthy. That may be the case, but maybe you could still lament about how we have lost our way of life. We can't just suka-suka when we feel like it, go over to a friend's house in a big group. We can't do that now. We can't even meet in church without being 1 meter apart. We even lament because we know friends who are in the front lines or healthcare workers. We know people who are almost in a wartime climate because they are fighting this virus. Even just in church, can we lament that we can't even meet each other face to face? It pains me that even right now, I've been back in Singapore for maybe more than a month, and I haven't been able to talk face to face with some of my loved ones and friends. Maybe some of you have actually lost loved ones during this pandemic. Maybe some of you are going through constant physical pain, mental issues, or even emotional pain. Maybe some of you are going through a deep yearning that God has not answered. Maybe you really want to get married, but somehow you can't find the right partner. Maybe you deeply want to start a family, but month after month is just disappointment again and again. Maybe you're anxious and maybe you lost your job, or you're scared of losing your job. And these are losses that all of us may suffer in the future. And I wonder, when we and you and I suffer through this pain and grief, do we know how to lament? In our church vision, it says that we want to become a vibrant community of people that knows Christ and lives authentic Christian lives. And I want to challenge you that if you want to live authentically, you first have to know how you're feeling. You first have to be honest with yourself and what you're going through. The first step is to know yourself. And I know for many of us, what I'm saying right now is so foreign. Maybe it's like an emotional muscle that we have never stretched before. We haven't flexed and engaged it before. We do not know how to even start. And I want to encourage you, that's okay. I was there before as well. It's kind of different in, I guess, in our Singapore culture, maybe, where we are very pragmatic. But now is the time I think we can start thinking, reflecting upon how we are feeling. If you do not know how to think through these things, first and foremost, I would like to encourage you, go to God's Word. Read the Psalms. The Psalms gives us words and language to express our pain and grief. You can read Psalms like Psalm 10, 13, 22, 77. These are Psalms, lament Psalms, that as you read them and study them, they may give you words to express your own emotions. Perhaps you want something a bit more contemporary, so I also found this thing called Wheel of Emotions. Okay, it's more for English speakers or those who are comfortable with English, but it actually breaks down for you from maybe feeling fearful to more specifically scared or more specifically, maybe helpless. So this, if you can, you can just go online and check this out. Maybe this could also help you to express how you're feeling. And maybe the third thing I want to suggest to you is also listen to Christian lament songs. These are two albums or artists that I found when I was in the States. They sing in the churches. One is by Wendell Kimborough, and he sings psalms, like that's his thing. And he actually goes and sings lament songs. And as I shared with you before, if the psalms are meant to be sung, maybe listen to music that cry out to God. Or even the Potter's Gate, this is another another appropriate album. So if you can take a listen, if that may help you to know what is biblical lament. I realize this is an issue in our church, because as I was talking to our song leader, Carissa, like we were looking through and trying to find songs, lament songs that Zion knows. And honestly, we came up quite short. It seems that our church, we do struggle with lament because we don't really talk about it. We don't really do it. We are not really having honest tears before our God who hears. So some of you by now might be thinking, okay, so what, I'm supposed to just lament and be emo all the time, just be emotional and be sad all the time, is it? Is that you're calling us to do, Joe? No, but I hear you, because let's continue on with Psalm 3 and hear how else David responds to the laments or the pains that he goes through. So verse 3 and 4, if you follow along with me, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord and he answered me from his holy hill." Notice a distinct change in tone in verse 3. The key word there is "but," a contrast. "But you, O Lord." David doesn't just stay where he is. Lament also means turning our attention to the Lord who has taken care of us, has taken care of David. And then my professor also pointed out in verse 4 that the Hebrew tenses seem to indicate that the crying and the answering from God has happened more than once. This thing has happened more than once. And notice again the pronoun that is used. David is going not only "my," but it's "to you," to God. He's turning his attention to God in the midst of his pain because David remembers the goodness of God from his past experience. David remembers and believes that God will intervene. God will deliver him from his enemies. And the shield that I interesting note that I went to do some research, the shield is not supposed to be just protecting your upper body. It's supposed to protect David all around. That's why the Lord is a shield to David. And so this is what David believes in 3 and 4. God will intervene. And look at verse 5 and 6. It says, "I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around." Here David is able in faith to sleep peacefully in the face of danger. His past experience has given him confidence for the future and the present. It allows him to walk by faith and not by sight. David expresses relief and describes this feeling of recalling God's goodness, care, and protection. And notice again with me in verse 6, notice how he repeats "many." Again, the word that was repeated in verse 1 and 2 is repeated here again. It seems to hint to us relief has started. And notice again, pronouns. David says, "I" and "me." David's going back to how he's feeling personally. He's going back to himself and declaring a trust in God. Now, one thing I have to note that's very important, and this may be a bit technical, but this thing called telescope time, okay, is a unique feature of the Psalms of Lament. And all this means is that the Psalm sets us a pattern, but doesn't tell us how long everything might take. So my professor, again, in his sermon, he said this about telescope time. In fact, most often we have to go through some pretty excruciating wrestling over a pretty good stretch of time. That's not a problem for the Psalms, even though it's no fun for us. So even though we read this Psalm pretty quickly, just take note that it may take a long time before we find the relief that we are seeking. But I hope that as you put together lament and also putting together the faith that David has, notice one thing is that the tension that David is holding on both to the laments and holding on to the hope. Lament and hope together. And if you wonder, is that possible? Is that possible for a human being to do that? I would say yes. When I was in St. Louis and I was leaving, I left St. Louis in May from the States, and it was during a pandemic. And I have to tell you, it was really heartbreaking that I couldn't say a proper goodbye to friends. I couldn't hug people. I couldn't even come close to them. You had to say bye from afar. It's just heartbreaking to know that I'm not going to see these people for maybe years, and I can't even say a proper goodbye. That was painful for me. But at the same time, there was anticipation and hope because I was coming back home. I was coming back to my home church. I was coming back to Singapore. And I was also rejoicing in that. So it was a weird mix of emotions. But through it all, I realized that God is big enough to hold this tension that we're feeling, both lament and hope. I do not know how many enemies you are going through or the particular difficulties you are facing professionally, personally, in your family relationships. I do not know the severity of what you're going through. What I know is that David teaches us not only to lament, but also to hope in our God. I call this hopeful cries, to have hopeful cries to God. In what aspect in your own life do you need to cry out to God in hope? In what aspects of your life do you need to have honest tears before our God who hears? Right now, we know that we have to be honest with our laments. We know we can hope in God, and we hold this intention. So what can you do right now? Let's look at the last two verses. It says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people." Again, the notice of pronouns change to you. David is directing back to God, a prayer to God, telling him, "Arise, God," telling God, "Act, take action, show people your power and presence." And notice that David right here is teaching us how to lament. It's actually a prayer to God, not only focusing on ourselves, but like verse 8 says, "Your blessing be on your people." Our laments also direct us to the people around us. And I know as we hear this about hopeful cries and prayer to God, you might be thinking, is this even possible? Is this even humanly possible? And that's when we turn to our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect ideal human being, the perfect man. And notice in his earthly ministry, his time on earth, what did he do? He wept over Jerusalem and the state that Jerusalem was in the Gospel of Luke. He cried at the tomb of Lazarus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, his tears were like drops of blood as he cried out to God. And even as he hung on the cross, feeling the abandonment of God the Father, because of our sins, he cried out, quoting Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus shows us that it is human to lament. It is a Christian thing to cry out to God. But not only that, Jesus also shows us there's hope because Jesus will come again. Jesus will return victorious as our King. And it says in Revelations, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. King Jesus shows us that we can have honest tears before our God who hears. And as we end and close up right now, I'm going to do something slightly different. I'm going to give us time right now to corporately lament. I know it's a bit weird, but I realize that we haven't had that time, I think, to just slow down, pause, be uninterrupted, and be honest with God. So for some of us, I know lament can be difficult. It's a muscle we haven't used before, but I want to encourage you, as we do this, just be honest with what you've gone through. Reflect upon the past 3 months during the circuit breaker phase one. What have you gone through? How did that make you feel? For others of us, maybe you feel like the pandemic hasn't hit you that bad, and that's fine. But maybe as we learn about bearing one another's burdens, crying with one another, maybe lament for your fellow brothers and sisters, people who have really struggled during this time. So continue to keep your microphones muted. I will share with you 3 points that are connected, and I'll give you maybe a minute to 2 minutes to just spend time in prayer, either individually or if you're comfortable with people in your household. So the first point I want to encourage you to think about, a time of reflection and lament. As I shared earlier, give yourself this time and space right now to just cry out to God, either silently or if you have to say it out, feel free. But I'll give you a minute or two as we do this. Lament and reflection, maybe a time of confession, because as you reflected upon your life, what has God shown you about your own heart? For me, I've realized that my heart has a tendency to rely on my own strength to overcome obstacles and ignoring God. So again, I'll give you about a minute or two to confess to God how you have fallen short of relying on Him or other areas in your life that you want to confess to Him. So let's take another minute or two. So after we have confessed, and let's move on to our third prayer point, is also hope and rejoicing. As I shared earlier, it's about hopeful cries, that we know that our suffering is not the final story. We know that there is hope and rejoicing that can still happen in the midst of our pain. So again, I'll give you another minute or two to just think back and places where you can hope and be encouraged and rejoice even in the midst of our pain. Amen. May you please join with me as I pray for all of us and for pastoral prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, from the depths of our pain and confusion, we cry out to you. From fear-filled hearts and anxious minds, we plead with you. Rescue us, Father of compassion and grace. We lift up our eyes to you, Lord God, the one who sits enthroned in heaven. Lord, we also entrust the young people in our midst to you. Father, the young people go through many struggles and challenges that did not even exist a generation ago. They are facing pressures in school, with friends, with social media, even with body image, and even just developmentally, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who never changes, and that their problems they face is just the tip of the iceberg. It's not the whole problem. Because you are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands. Father, draw close to these young people. Help them through the Spirit to know you in a deeper way. Help them to have assurance as our covenant children that they can find hope and love in Christ alone. Be real to our young people, Lord. And Father, we also seek your blessing and your grace upon those who are shut-ins and our friends and members in Ling Kwang Home. Father, you know the names as they are listed out in our online bulletin, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that they are part of our family and a treasured and precious part of our family. We thank you, Lord, that despite our age differences or different backgrounds, we are one in Christ. In particular, Lord, we want to pray for those who are unwell. For Madam C. Yi Ching, Lord, we pray that you will help the family to have wisdom and guidance, Lord, on how to the next step forward in her current situation. I pray, Lord, that your peace and grace be sufficient for her and for the family, and Lord, that you draw close to her, even in her time of need. Lord, in the past few days, we are also reminded about the election season. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity for us as Singaporeans to vote for our leaders. And Lord, that we pray, Lord, help us to be discerning and to have wisdom as we make our vote. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'll continue to be united in Christ despite our differing political views. And Lord, that we continue to pray for our leaders, our nation's leaders, because you have called us to. So Lord, we remember, Lord, that we pray and we ask you to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Do not cast us away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from us, Lord. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and sustain us. With your bountiful spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in his name we pray. Amen.